Everyone say hi to a mother in Zion in our congregation, Madeline. Say hi to Miss Madeline. Thank you for gracing us with your presence on this Resurrection Sunday. Bless the Lord. Well, children, you know how when you go into a soccer game or a basketball game or a baseball game, you don't know who's going to win, right? All right, you do your best, but you're not sure how the game's going to turn out. Well, when you embrace Jesus Christ for your life, you can live this life, this game of life, this life, with the confidence that the victory has already been won. And you guys are victors. You have the victory because Christ has already won the victory on the cross. So look at me. I want you to go through life knowing that you are a champion, that you have won the victory, and that you are victorious in Christ. Amen? Let's just stretch forth our hands before the children of Father. We just thank you that these children are champions. We thank you, Lord God, that they are the head and not the tail. We thank you, Lord God, that you have that everything that they have in Christ is yours, Lord God. Everything that is yours in Christ is theirs, Lord God. That they are accepted in the Beloved. They are loved in the Beloved, Lord God. Lord God, that they are chosen in Christ, Lord God. That they are redeemed in Christ. That they are victorious in Christ, Lord God. And they can live life confidently, knowing that you are on the throne and that you are going before them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Well, you may walk to Kids Church. Bless the Lord. Well, it really resonated with me also what Bill was sharing about having, just knowing the heart of God toward us, the heart of love that God has toward us, and really what the Lord desires, and that He desires that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's His heart. Because when all this is done, when even the busyness of life, you know, the things that cause us to get up in the morning and go to work and our work and the noise and the trials and the good things, the tough things and everything of our life, all of our human relationships, when everything is done, it's going to be you and the Lord. It's going to be you and the Lord. And you are going to want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When everything gets quiet, maybe all the kids are out of the house, and perhaps all of our human relationships are gone, you are going to want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He desires to have a relationship with you. And the thing about the resurrected life of Christ is that's His whole desire, is that He wants to have a relationship with you. And of course, today we do celebrate the great victory of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. And it's important for us to understand that it's not just a historical event. It's not just something that we celebrate on Easter. The power of resurrection life is for each one of us. And it matters in our daily life. So I'd like us to focus today on really appropriating Christ's resurrection life in our daily life. How do we walk out that power that He gives us to live in this relationship with Him? So I'd like us all to turn to John chapter 20. And we're going to read John's version of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It says in John chapter 20, verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, the Apostle John. Had this special relationship with Jesus, a close relationship with Jesus, the author of this gospel. The other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and Mary Magdalene said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put Him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. I kind of like it here because it seemed like they were having a race. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So the apostle John did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. You think of everything that Peter went through and coming to that recognition where Jesus had said that he would deny him three times, and he was profuse in his denials of that, that he wouldn't do so. And then, as the poet said, Jesus looked at Peter, and everything went from there. And so what must have been going through Peter's heart and mind, he wasn't wasting any time. He wanted to see if this situation could be redeemed. And he went directly into that tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. John saw and believed. The first point of walking out the victory of resurrection life in our lives is by believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, resurrection life is operating in you. John 20:29 says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I can remember in college reading a historical account of how Christians believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I remember something in my heart rose up. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Just the fact of your believing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead means that resurrection life is operating in you. Verse 9. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. There were multiple times that Jesus spoke to his disciples about what would occur. It was given in Scripture that he would rise from the dead, but it was not understood yet. Jesus shared that he would rise from the dead, that he would be crucified, and that he would rise from the dead. But his disciples had not grasped it. Why did they not understand this? Why could they just not take Jesus at his word? Why did they not remember what he said? It was because belief was needed. They needed faith. And faith is needed today in order to understand the power of the resurrection. Faith is needed today to understand everything that is in this word. It needs belief. Faith needs to be applied to the word of God to understand and to receive the power of the resurrection. Verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus. The thought of considering a resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it wasn't even in the realm of consideration. She was so terribly distraught. She was so terribly confused. Imagine, this was the man who turned her life around. who brought her life from the depths of sin and despair and changed her life. And now what has happened? He's gone. And Mary Magdalene did not recognize Jesus. If you saw Jesus, would you recognize Him? Do you recognize Jesus' presence in your daily life? Do you recognize Jesus in those times of distress and confusion that we all go through? I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to recognize Jesus in your life. I encourage you to recognize Jesus in every circumstance of your life. I encourage you to recognize Jesus in the trials of your life. To learn to surrender yourself to Him and to resign yourself to Him and recognize that Jesus is involved in your life. Verse 15. Woman, He said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking He was the gardener, Mary said, Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have put Him, and I will get Him. Jesus said to her, Mary. Jesus said to her, Mary. At first, Jesus addressed her as woman, but then Mary. 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 It's almost like by saying Mary, He's saying, it's me. It's me. It's me. The one you are looking for. Mary. Finally, Mary recognized Jesus and exclaimed, Rabboni, my teacher. She recognized Jesus when Jesus said her name. Have you heard Jesus say your name? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Experiencing the resurrection life of Christ is hearing Jesus say your name. It's allowing Jesus to say your name and to hear your name be spoken. When a person's name is spoken, it speaks volumes. A name is very, very powerful. It implies a personal relationship. It's very life-affirming. It's very life-giving. It's personal. It's real. And when Jesus says your name, abundant life flows into your being. Resurrection life flows into your being. It's like breathing life into you when Jesus says your name. How a person's name is said communicates volumes. Of course, when Jesus says your name, it communicates much love because He loves you. Jesus is a personal God who wants a personal relationship with you. Look at verse 17. Jesus said, do not hold on to me. Can you just imagine? Mary, do not hold on to me. I mean, the scripture don't tell us exactly, but I would imagine that somehow Mary was holding on to Jesus. Maybe she fell at His feet. Maybe she was giving Him a big bear hug. But Mary was holding on to Jesus. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Jesus said, go to my brothers. Jesus is now calling His disciples my brothers. And He had always referred to the Father as my Father. But now that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead, He says, my Father and your Father. To my God and your God. Your Father. Your God. Your Father. Your God. He's not just God. He's not just Father. He's your Father. He's your God. That speaks of a personal God. A real God. In each one of our lives. And what's more, Jesus calls us brothers now. Hebrews 2:11 and 12 says, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brothers. Verse 18. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. How do we experience the resurrection life of Christ? We experience Christ's resurrection life when we testify of Christ. When we tell others of Christ. Mary told them. She shared her testimony of seeing Christ Jesus. She shared her experience with Christ. No one can argue with a testimony. No one can argue with Mary's testimony of seeing Christ. We have many witnesses recorded in the Bible of those that saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. No one can argue with your testimony and your experience with Jesus Christ. Don't waste time trying to argue with somebody over the issues of Christ. Just share your testimony. Just share your testimony of how Christ has changed your life. Have you ever recognized when you are witnessing to someone, when you take that step to share Christ with someone, how the witness of the Holy Spirit rises in your heart? That is the resurrection life of Christ living in you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 6, it says, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Aren't we glad that Christ has risen? We don't have to go down and get Christ and bring him up. He's here. But what does it say? It says the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And so it's with our inner heart that we believe and are justified. And it is with our mouth that we confess and are saved. And so, whenever you are leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are testifying of Him, if you lead them in a prayer, make sure you don't just pray for that person. Make sure that that person also prays themselves, that they confess Jesus as Lord, that they speak the Word with their mouth. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's resurrection life right there. Simply calling upon the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we need to call upon Him for initial salvation. We need to open up our mouths and call upon Him for initial salvation. And I tell you, for me, I need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ every day of my life. I need to be saved every day of my life. And that's resurrection power operating in your life. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Have you ever recognized that when you have witnessed to someone, when you're preparing to witness to someone, when you're taking that step of faith to share Christ with someone, that the Holy Spirit is right there. That witness leaps in your heart. That is the power of the resurrection. It's how we and those we share with believe. Romans 10:17 right there says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We're testifying of Christ operationalizes His resurrection life in our lives. Speaking the word, simply speaking His word, operationalizes His resurrection life in our life. Let's go back to John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors were locked, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now, Jesus was still a physical body. He was not a ghost, per se. He was still a physical body. But He came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After He said this, He showed them His hands and side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. How do we operationalize resurrection life in our life? We receive Christ's peace. The book of Hebrews talks about entering fully into the promised land that God has for us. And it talks about when we enter fully into His promised land. It talks about how we need to even strive to enter in this promised land. Make every effort to enter in this promised land. To not just have one foot in the promised land and one foot out of the promised land. And we strive so that we can enter into that promised land of His rest. Of His rest. It's kind of an oxymoron. We got to strive and work hard and make every effort to come into that promised land for that rest. But you see, that's what often happens in our lives. We kind of have one foot in the promised land and one foot out of the promised land. Christ's resurrection life operating in your life is that no matter what you are going through, no matter how hard you're working, you might be working 16-hour days, there might be things going on in your life and you're inundated and so forth, Christ has 100% rest for you. That is His promised land. That no matter how hard you're working, how busy you are, Dwayne driving down 270 and the Beltway and going to BWI and 695 and up into Pennsylvania and whatever and so forth, you can walk in 100% rest. That is the promised land that God has for you. Make every effort to come fully into that promised land of rest that God has for you. Resting in Christ. Receiving Christ's peace. That peace that passes all understanding. How do we gain this perfect peace? Well, first of all, it's faith. Every day we have to take the time to come into that place of resting in Him. Coming into Christ. And a relationship with Christ every day. See, it's there for us. Christ is always there. It's a matter of us getting the perspective and the mindset, and that takes having that relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we gain this perfect peace, this life of rest, this resurrection life within us? By keeping our mind stayed on Christ. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace Him whose mind is steadfast because He trusts in you. We walk in this peace by keeping our mind stayed on Jesus Christ. The fact that He is ever present. The fact that He has risen from the dead. The fact that He has risen in my life. The fact that He has risen in your life. The fact that He is present. That He is alive. That He has risen. That He is never absent. That He is there. But it's not enough just to know that He's there. You've got to be aware that He's there. You have to keep your mind stayed on Christ. And so whatever you're doing in your day, whether it's driving down 270, whether it's teaching students, whether it's homeschooling children, whether it's nailing nails into boards and building houses, whatever it is, Christ is doing that with you.
Amen.
Christ is doing that with you. And you are keeping your mind stayed on Christ. That is His resurrection life operating in you. A mind saturated with the life of Christ. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Christ breathed on His disciples. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let Christ breathe on you. Let Him say, "Receive the Holy Spirit" to you. And then receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Receive it as a gift. It's a gift that the Lord has for you to receive the Holy Spirit. That is His resurrection life operating in you. Verse 23. "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The only way that we can forgive others is through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is a very key benefit from Christ's resurrection. The power to forgive. The power to forgive. This is such an outstanding benefit in our lives. It's a very significant power that the Lord has given us. Many people live lives of defeat and depression and despair and discouragement simply because they have not learned the power of forgiveness. Amen. To forgive the unforgivable. To forgive those who hurt us. To forgive those who we really, when we think about it, they're kind of despitefully using us. Forgiveness is the great equalizer. Forgiveness is the great new starter. Forgiveness is the great clean slate. And not really just for the other, but for you. Forgiveness is allowing Christ's resurrection life to flow in and through you and to operate in your life. When Christ said, even as they were crucifying Him, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even amidst dying on a cross, the physical pain, the suffering, the shame, the excruciating death of hours that it took, He was able to walk in this power of forgiveness. And this power is for you. If you want to be truly free in life, truly free in life, learn to walk in the power of forgiveness. If you do, there will be nothing holding you back in this life. Nothing holding back. And also, the Holy Spirit is needed to accomplish this purpose that God has given us. We are a part of God's mission. We are a part of God's purpose. And what is His purpose? His purpose is to save people. His purpose is to forgive people of their sins. Because sin destroys people. Sin destroys relationships. And so instead of being destroyed by sin, yes, as we share God's purpose, it's a powerful message that God said, that Jesus said, "If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven." And so as we proclaim the message of salvation and we proclaim the message of God's forgiveness, the fact that God can forgive you and redeem your relationships, redeem your children, redeem your spouse. All right, I know there's many times Sylvia has to forgive me. All right, I don't know how a marriage could survive without forgiveness. All right. I mean, there's got to be forgiveness. In order for this to take place, God's resurrection life through the Holy Spirit has to be in our life. The power of forgiveness. And when we are communicating the message of Jesus Christ, That is a message of forgiveness. That God has forgiven you of your sins, and you can forgive others of your sins. You can have a new start. You can be redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ and live a new life. And so, in effect, we are saying, your sins are forgiven. That's a powerful statement. More on this statement in verse 23. It says, if you forgive anyone his sins, going back to 22, the second half of 22, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is the resurrection life of Christ in our life. It's God's great benefit in our life. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Why did Thomas not believe? He said, I will not believe it. It was an issue of his will. Faith and belief is an issue of our will. Are you open or are you obstinate? Are you willing to believe? Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to risk all upon this Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Are you willing to believe that he wasn't just a man? Are you willing to believe that he wasn't just a prophet? Are you willing to believe that he wasn't just stuck on himself and got some people that followed him and he was like some other great leaders of history that came and died and was no more? Are you willing to believe that he actually rose from the dead? And he said what he said was truth. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Are you willing to believe that he wasn't just prideful in saying that it's only through me that people can come to the Father? Are you willing to believe that he was saying the truth? That it's only by me that you can come to the Father and receive salvation. He was speaking the truth. He wasn't being prideful. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross, the Bible says. And because he was willing to humble himself to the nth degree, by dying a humiliating death on a cross, yes, he has been exalted. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And confess Jesus as Lord. Are you willing to believe? Don't worry whether or not you have enough faith. The question is, do you will to have faith? Do you will to believe? As the father of the boy with the evil spirit exclaimed to Jesus, he wanted to believe. He wanted his son to be healed. He wanted his son to be healed of this thing that the evil spirit just come in against his son and seeing the effect of it on his son and how his son had lack of peace. He wanted his son to be healed. And in response to Jesus, he said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I have seen firsthand in my life that if you are willing, God is eagerly ready to help us believe. We sang that last song, He Has Overcome. See, the thing about resurrection life is that it helps you to overcome. Whatever's going on in your life, if you're feeling that, you know, I just keep hitting my head against the wall, I can't overcome, this is happening, this season, when is this season going to be over? This season that seems of defeat or depression or whatever it may be. That's resurrection life. God can help you overcome. And that is very, very practical. God can help you overcome. You can get over that hump. You can get on the other side of that thing. Instead of continually to going around the mountain, you can go through that mountain. Jesus, through His resurrection life, is going to build a tunnel through that mountain. And you're going to move on and carry on with Jesus Christ. If you are willing, Jesus helps you overcome. And that is His resurrection life. There is nothing in your life that you have to say, well, I just can't handle this. With Christ, you can handle it. You might be in a relationship with your spouse, and the answer is not divorce. You might be in a relationship with your spouse, well, how do I deal with this? Well, Christ can help you to deal with it. Christ can help you to do all things. Christ can help you to love a spouse that is unloving. Christ can help you to overcome and to live life and honor Him and glorify Him in that situation. Verse 26. A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to Him, "My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God." I remember having a personal crisis of faith in my life as a college student. And I'll never forget. I ran track in college and I was walking around. It was Messiah College and the track there overlooks the Yellow Breeches Creek and the trees in the distance. And then you got the steeple from the church. And I'll never forget walking around that track and looking at the world, looking out from there and wondering whether or not there was a God. I was having a crisis of faith and the world looked completely different to me. I had grown up in a Christian home, assuming God all my life. And here I was wondering whether or not there was a God. And the world looked lonely to me. Looked very lonely, looked very different. I'll never forget that. And I had a crisis of faith. I called a friend that evening, and he shared the very scripture from Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I went out of that phone call and just went on a walk, and I started confessing, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And immediately the faith sprang back in my heart. The Holy Spirit leaped inside of my being. Because I was saved. I had received Christ as my Savior. I had grown up in the faith. But sometimes our minds get confused. Sometimes we have doubts. Thomas had a doubt. Thomas is a sincere believer. Earlier in the New Testament, he had talked about following Jesus and dying with Him. He wasn't being sarcastic. He was committed. He didn't betray Jesus. The Bible says that if we disown Him, He will disown us. But if we lack faith, He will not disown us because He cannot disown Himself. There may be times in which you may waver in faith. And you may have doubts. God can deal with your doubts. God can help you to make it through your doubts. Just stay engaged with the Lord. Go on a walk with Jesus Christ. Go on a walk and cry out to Him. All right, Lord. Lord, call Him Lord. Cry out to Him. As long as you stay engaged with Jesus Christ, He'll stay engaged with you. And further, He will not let you go. The word of faith. Jesus is Lord. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is Lord. Verse 27 again. Then He said to Thomas, Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." With Thomas and with us, Jesus provides you with the faith you need. Faith is a gift from God. Belief is a gift from God. There is nothing in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There is nothing. You might think, "Oh, I've got great faith and great belief." Well, the Lord made it such that it's a gift from Him. So you can't take credit for it. We can't take credit for it. It's a gift from Him. All right? It's a gift. He will give you the faith you need. He will give you the belief you need. He will give you what you need. He will provide you with what you need. The faith that counteracts disbelief. The faith that counteracts despair. The faith that counteracts depression and discouragement. And the faith that counteracts death. He will give you what you need. Verse 29. Then Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You are blessed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Resurrection life in His name. What is God's purpose? Verse 31. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. By believing, you have resurrection life in His name. Let God's resurrection life operate in you. Let's all bow our heads. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know what's going on in your heart and your mind today. The Lord does. And as has been shared, you can be assured that the Lord loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. And what that love means is that He desires to have a relationship with you. He wants to give you all of the benefits that come with having a relationship with Him. And if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, or perhaps you did many years ago, but you can't really honestly say that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity today to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what He desires. He doesn't simply desire that you pray a prayer. What He desires is that you have a relationship with Him. Amen. Just slip up your hand right now if you desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You never have had a relationship with Him. And you desire to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Just slip up your hand today. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to have a relationship with you today. Anyone else? Just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I need You. Thank You that You desire to have a relationship with me. I desire to have a relationship with You. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I understand that You went to the cross because of sin. I thank you that you took my penalty on the cross, because the wages of sin is death. I thank you that you rose from the dead. And right now I confess Jesus is Lord. I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. I turn from my way, the way of selfishness, the way of sin. I choose to follow you. Thank you for making me your child. Thank you for saving me by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray for every single person here, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would walk in your resurrection life every day of our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that the truth of Christ's resurrection is not just a historical event. We thank you, Lord God, that it brings life to us. And not just for us to hoard, but to share with others. That we can walk in the power of forgiveness. We can walk in the power of having a mind at peace. Lord God, we can walk with the sense that you are present because you have risen and you are present. That you are near. We don't have to go down and get you. We don't have to go up to the heavens and get you. We don't have to go down to the depths to get you. That you are present. You are near. You are an ever-present help. Help us to keep our minds stayed upon you, Lord. Help us to work with you, Lord God, every day. Not so much work for you, but help us to work with you, Lord. Help us to walk in your presence and your resurrection life every day of our lives. Help us to come fully into your promised land of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.